Okay, so today's daf is daf Peyalev. We're right at the Mishnah, and we're missing some of Josh so far this morning. Fab and Charlie, how you doing? You're okay with Yiddish?
So,
yeah, you got to say it like you mean it. So, is Tamar Kohen Shnasah Bat Yisrael Machtilah B'Truma. Now we're finally getting around to the integration of all of these interesting issues that we've had. Basically, really from the Gemara, they're all genital issues in a sense. But even Mamzerus, we said, comes from a genetic issue, and if we're including it in genetic elements in the broader sense. So that means even Orla, calling your Orla is a state of genitals. The question of Ptuadaka, the Shaila of Mamzerus, all of the different elements, Androgynous, Tumtum, all of these are genital questions. That's very much the topic of our parak. And so now getting around from the Yibum issues back again to the relationship, and actually the two are very deeply intertwined, because there are going to be questions now as to identifying one's sex, as to what the chiyuvim are legabe, chalitza, yibum, and so on. There's also the same questions. We raised these issues earlier, but we have the same questions legabe achilas truma. So starting off with a simple situation, where at least we know what the sex is, but we have a problem with fertility. So Sris Hamakohim, Shinasabba, Israel Machila Bachuma. And it seems to be obvious on the surface, and everyone's going to ask what we need to be told, that someone who's a Sris Chama therefore has no problem of passeling, because a Sris Chama means a congenital problem that the Torah specifically excluded from the whole issue. Suadaka. Nonetheless, we, for some reason, Mishnah finds it necessary to tell us that he, as a Kohen, if he marries a Bas Yisrael, he could nonetheless have her eat truma. Seems to be obvious, why not? Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, even an androgynous Kohen, Shanasa Bat Yisrael, Machilah Betruma. This is a tremendous finish, because an androgynous, generally we're used to thinking of an androgynous as not being clearly a male or clearly a female. Over here, if we're saying an androgynous marries a Bas Yisrael, I mean, if he, she is a female, then it's not much of a marriage. So he's unable to be Kena, a woman. A woman can't be Kena, a woman, and therefore wouldn't be the Kinyan of a Kohen, so how can he be Machilah Betruma? So the implications are, on a simple level, we'll see this in Machlokes in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon seem to hold that androgynous is essentially a Zohar that has some kind of genetic problem that makes him also, gives him also Makhut, but that he really has a din of a Zohar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but you'll notice that if we had a problem, by the way, earlier, Sris Chamav had a problem of Sris Adam, there we have the other issue, that he passes her by sleeping with her, so then obviously we wouldn't discuss it being Ma'achila, but Trumel Chathila, except insofar as Mishtamaret L'Biyah Psula, which would be the Machlokes that we had earlier, much earlier about Mishtamaret L'Biyah Psula, which is Kosher, and then the mission. But over here, Rabbi Yud extends also in a very strange way, that the din, according to Rabbi Yud, is that a Tumtum. So normally we view a tumtum as being perfectly functional, male or female. It's just that we don't have to know which one it is, and we need to do a little surgery in order to expose the genitals. So a tumtum, nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tumtum that is operated on. V'nimtza zachar lo yachalot neshu kesaris. This is the first time we've had the inyonim of yibum and truma so completely intertwined in the mission. We begin to see now the integration of the various issues. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that a tumtum is basically sterile, and that even if we would find the tumtum to be a zachar, he would not be chayav even chalitza. Now Rashi, interestingly enough, then we'll see that actually this is a topic in the Gemara, which is part of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer, as we'll see later on. Rashi says lo yachalotz, meaning if there is another brother available to do chalitza, so then he shouldn't be the one to do chalitza. Mashma, in other words, if there is a need for chalitza, we can't simply be matur yivom l'shuk just because, according to Rabbi Shimon, he is a saris. Now, what exactly that would mean? Is it a suffix saris? We're saying that would be machmer to have the others. Again, all this we'll see when we get to the understanding better than machlokes in the Mishnah. Androgynous no se avolonisa. An androgynous can marry a woman, but cannot be married. Now, this we can understand because even if the androgynous is, let's say we view it as a suffix. So if he's a suffix, okay, so then mumanashach. If he's male, so it's a perfectly good marriage. If he's female, there's nothing wrong with the marriage, it's just a lesbian marriage essentially, which is really only an issur rabbanan. And we said it's pritzusa. We said before it's pritzusa. Yes. So the rabbanon are not going to be gozer. Well, we don't even know it's a woman that's sleeping with a woman. So we might as well have them relate to each other. What's that?
There's no misuin.
That's the question of, you know, what exactly the word misuin is. We'll see also later in the circuit. Was Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Androgynous Chayavim Alav Skila Kezachar. Again, it's not clear what the machlokus is over here. Whether the Tanakhama, that says that an androgynous can get married, maybe means even 100%. In other words, if he's saying that it's a vada, in which case Rabbi Eliezer would seem to just be agreeing. An androgynous Chayav Alav Skila Kezachar. But as we'll see, the question over here is, what exactly would be the status of this Zohar? He's a very strange Zohar because he has a vagina. So now the question is, if we're given the din of a Zohar, what is the halacha of someone who has vaginal intercourse with an androgynous? Is that considered to be the same thing as Mishkav Zohar? I mean, usually a normal Zohar, this wouldn't be possible to do. Or not. What Rabbi Eliezer, according to this, would be saying is, you would only be chayiv on the androgynous the way you would be chayiv on a normal male. But in sleeping with an androgynous as if he were a woman, then you wouldn't be chayiv, skila. And indeed, this is how, I mean, this is machlok, this is how the paskim, this is how the Rambam paskims, that you would not be chayiv. The Rabbanan asserted it, and Malkin also Malkus Margus. That's the thing, though. We say Mishkeveis, I think we should refer to Mishkeveisha. Surprisingly, we learn out from the Zohar, Mishkeveisha, that anal intercourse is considered to be a mode of normal intercourse with an Isha, and is considered to be Be'ela Kol Davar, as we saw before. Ve'en Mechalkin, Be'ela Bi'ez, as the Mishnah said. But surprisingly, in the inverse, at least it really is, even though the Zohar is the Makar to the nature of intercourse, we can't turn a Zohar into an Akeva if he happens to be designed also to have a normal Bi'ez. That is a very strange case, obviously. But again, it brings us to laboratory situations that clarify amazingly what the issues are involved in the definition of being in these relationships. Says the Gemara Pshita, getting back to the ratio, a Siris Chama, where there's no problem of his sleeping with her, he can't possel her, why in the world wouldn't he be Ma'ach Yotruma? I mean, he has a normal kinyan, his faculties for reproduction are irrelevant, because they don't create his Siris. And the woman's not higher than Biri of Arivia, and we could say something about Snowa. What's the problem? Because Ma'od Tema Molid Ma'achir Sheinom Molid Me'enomach. This really comes back to the Yelid Beitu Drasha. You have Kinyan Kaspov Yelid Beitu. We saw Yelid Beitu, we darshan that Yelud Ma'achir Sheinom Yelud Eno Ma'achir. We had this Drasha back with an embryo and a fetus. So here too, we might have thought Hamolid Ma'achir. We put that together with Kinyan Kaspov. And let Yelid Beito be a Gilui Milsa on Kinyan Kaspo. So only someone who is capable of having children would be a Nitzer Sakosa. If someone is capable of having children, and it wouldn't be that unusual to say, because after all, the entire parasha discusses, and if there is a child, what the halacha is of the child vis-a-vis the woman after her husband dies. Again, very similar to the Yibum question, which is how these things all got together in the first place. Gomash Malanda, the din of Kinyan Kaspo, anyway, is a separate halacha. We don't look at the din of Yelid Beito as being a Gilui and Kinyan Kaspo anyway. And therefore, it's absolutely correct. Your original reaction is, why not? That's true. Indeed, why not? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, androgynous. This is interesting. An androgynous who marries a Bais Yisrael allows her to eat truma, which seems to be saying that I know that an androgynous is a Zohar. How else could we be allowing her to eat truma? Omer Reish Lakish, if you think that, you'd be misunderstanding what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon are saying. When Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say Machila Betruma, they mean Machila Betruma ve'ein Machila because of a shok. Huh? That is a really weird situation. We do find the case where we have Achila Betruma and not Achila because of a shok. But that was only in the case of a Chozeret, where we had a woman, now her husband dies. She is about going. Her husband dies without children. She's Chozeret Lebeit Aviyah, so she's allowed to eat truma, but trumat hakodashim, she's not a very interesting case. To compare this halacha to some type of middle case in which you're a problematic zohar, so you can give her truma, but you can't quite give her chazav shok. It sounds absolutely outrageous. Which the Gemara, of course, will ask momentarily. Where would such a halacha come from? Rabbi Yochanan says, look, let's see it. You can machra b'truma, of course you're machra because of a shok as well. It's exactly the same halacha. Yes, the Gemara indeed, according to Rish Lakish, where would this come from? Maishna, how can Rish Lakish say chazav shok to what? Chazav shok is the arise. So truma is also the arise enough. To mean him, it's the same halacha, basically. One is called trumat kadashim, and one is called kadashim's fam. Now, what's the pshat? No, of course, but you have to understand what Rish Lakish is saying. Rish Lakish is saying that Achamai is going to have a truma b'zman hazeh. That's what he said. In other words, you cannot give a chazer shok. In other words, there is no chazer shok. You can give a truma, which is truma b'zman hazeh. Truma b'zman hazeh is only rabban. So this is a very weird way of saying that. They're saying that what b'zman shbet, I mean dash kayam, you can't give a truma either. No, lo. So then why say it in such a ridiculous manner? Talk about Truma directly. Say it. And that would make it very clear. Instead, you're making us Google here. But they're talking about Chaz V'Shov. There is no Chaz V'Shov. No, you're missing the point. It's brilliant. Oh, thank you so much. It's brilliant what he's saying. He's trying to tell you that the halacha of ha'akalat truma is only when there wouldn't be a chash of chaz v'shok. But if you live in a time in which there is chaz v'shok, you'd have to be concerned that maybe she would eat chaz v'shok. Therefore, even bizman shebet hamikdash kayam, there's also truma d'rabbanan. Not all truma is d'oraita. So we have, I mean, it's true, it's a machlokas rishonim, according to Rashi, only tagan tirosh v'yitzhar is chayav in truma. But even the Sheva Minim of Eretz Yisrael, other than the Minei Dagan, obviously the olives or the grapes, but I mean, the Te'inim, no problem. Te'inim aren't really Chayim and Truma, Rabbanan are Chayim and Truma. The Rambam argues on that. The Rambam holds Truma's Peros is almost complete, almost all Peros would be considered to be Deraisa. But even according to the Rambam, we've been talking about Truma of Yerakot, or Truma of places that are close to Eretz Yisrael, like Truma in Syria, where it would be Rabbanan. But in any event, he's trying to make it clear that at a time when Truma D'Oraisa is available, which is the time when there's Chaz V'Shok, we don't allow her to eat even Truma D'Rabbana. So I want to make that very clear. I am saying that Truma Bizman Hazeh, and it may well be, it does suggest that this is based on the idea of a double D'Rabbana. So you're talking about, we'll see later on, when we'll get to cases, there are cases where it's mamash double the rabban. You have a truma, which is bizman hazeh, and even if it would have been bizman abayit, it still would have been the type of truma that would have been rabban. That may be even different than truma as dogan kirosh v'yitzar bizman hazeh. That we'll take into consideration later. But in any event, what Rish Lakish wants to make very clear is, look, what I'm saying is, if all that's available is truma to rabban, because we're talking about bizman hazeh where there's no chiyav of truma, then she can eat. But if you're talking about a time in which there's chaz v'shok available, ein ma'achilin. So that's the point. Hachika ama. What Reish Lakish was saying is, there's a little bit of a question whether that is correct, what I just said, what Reish Lakish is saying. Because you'll notice that the Gemara's question is, adetoni ein ma'achilah b'chaz v'shok. Liflog velitne bedida. Now, adetoni means literally, instead of stating in the Braita X, litne state in the Braita Y. We haven't seen any Braita. All we saw was Reish Lakish explaining the words in the Mishnah. We never use the words adetoni on Reish Lakish. Why would we say Reish Lakish should be tunny if he was just explaining something? He was just saying, he should have just said. What's tni? Because of this, some bring a riot to the Girsa, in which Reish Lakish brings a braisa to this effect. And that they're talking about the braita of Reish Lakish, not the mimer of Reish Lakish directly. Okay, but in any event, the parshas of the sugya, the way we have the girsa, the way Rashi learns it, is that we're talking about a question, it's sort of a borrowed term, we're talking about a question of what Reish Lakish meant. Why did Reish Lakish talk about a case of chaz v'shok? He should have simply made an afkamina within Truma itself and say, it depends if it's Truma d'Rabbanan or Truma d'Oraisa. To which the Gemara is answering, because Reish Lakish, again, is practicing the practice of Chachamim to give you the maximal density of information. If he would have told you just Truma, he would have said Truma d'Rabbanan, and you would have thought Truma d'Rabbanan would be true at any time if it's Truma d'Rabbanan. If it is Man Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Truma Steinim, let's say, according to Rashi, or Truma Sirokais, according to the Rambam, or Truma of Surya. So those cases, I would have thought even Bizman Abayit, Reish Lakish is being martyred. Therefore, he makes the nafkamina between Truma and Chaz V'Shok, so that you should be forced to recognize that obviously I don't mean a literal nafkamina between Truma and Chaz V'Shok. I mean a nafkamina between Truma, Bizman, and Chaz V'Shok, where it would be possible to Chaz V'Shok. And that Hochinami Kama, that's exactly what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, Kishuhu ma'achila b'truma bizman hazeh d'rabanan, the in machila bizman chaz v'shok afil b'truma d'rabbanan. We don't let her eat even Shemot Rabbanan at the time of the Beis HaMikdash because it's difficult for people to keep in mind the difference between Shemot Deoraita and Shemot Rabbanan, and therefore they'll see her eating and they'll think that, okay, so I guess Nandrogan is about Exarcha, it's Ma'achal Afilu but Shemot Deoraita, and because of that, we made a Gezeira at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. She was about, it's not a mocha to make a Gezeira. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not enough kamina. Basically, what they're saying over here is, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, is that in Androgyne says that din of a zarcha. I always ask them, why does Rabbi Ezra argue and talk about the... We'll talk about that later. But what I'm saying is, not enough kamina, af ma'achil abachaz of a shor. Omale Rabbi Yochanan shorish. I mean, what you're saying, it appears to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, is that the whole point is that Truma Bizman Azez, kulay drabon, and it's not possible to come to a deoraisa. And that's what you're saying. Now, Tosus points out that none of this can mean what it appears to say, because Rabbi Yochanan himself holds, as we'll see soon, that Truma Bizman Azez is in fact a Rabbanan. What we're talking about over here is that your analysis of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is that they hold that Truma Bizman Azez is a Rabbanan, and that I don't agree with. But the whole discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon is not necessarily the Shittot of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, but the Shittot of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon in the Shittot of Rabbi Yossi. And that's important to keep in mind, because otherwise we're going to have confusing data coming up. So in other words, says Rabbi Yochanan, you understand that I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bizman Azez Rabbanan. Omar, like, oh, yeah, I do sort of understand that. I mean, you know, it's only a Mishnah and Brises, and it's pretty clear to me. I mean, Shani Shonai, I just happen to have learned that eagle be igulim, ola, the halacha over here is that if you've got a pile of a Truma now, so the question over here is, you've got a whole eagle. An eagle is a container. Well, it's made in a container of pressed teini. So pressed teini is called igul dvela. Now this is a very chashuv thing. This igul dvela. You're getting sleepy. This is a very chashuv thing, and we'll see that that's important. Normally, the din is that truma is bottle now in echad v'mea. Now there's one part to 100 of chul, and it'll be bottle. Normally we have a concern for things that are chashuv, that those things are not bottle. We'll see that we've got a three-way machlokas, what defines something that's chashuv, and we have a lot of different areas of chashivas, such as chaticha ruyalit kaved, we have a whole organism, a birya, things like that. But we also have things that are chashuv simply because of the fact that people view them as chashuv, generally purchase them in units and so on, as we'll see. So what I learned, says Rish Lakish, is that in a case where you've got an eagle, a cake, it's a ring. They sell them even today, but they don't test them as well there. Today you see these separate figs, you can pull them apart. In those days they pressed them with a device that pressed them into a mold, which became the eagle. So it's not like our string, the inner circle. Those are sort of like a zecher, the alma, the original eagle trailer.
Couldn't pull like the inside of the table.
Yeah, right.
You couldn't pull the individual pieces apart.
No. You would slice the cake with a special kind of knife, and it was... So what I learned is that if you've got an eagle of truma, and you've got it mixed into 100 igulim of chulin, that the din is it would be bottled back of the mea. And there's two ways that this could be. You have truma in chulin, or truma tahora, mea inside truma, Tahora. So now here of course Rashi's got a problem. Rashi's problem is that according to him, Te'enim are always going to be Derabbanan, because he was only Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzhar. So therefore he's got to learn like this. He's got to learn like this. Because you see, according to him, even if Truma Bizman says the Yeraisa, the case of the eagle is Derabbanan. So you're really not helping yourself very much. Rish Lakish is saying, oh yes, absolutely. See, the partial way of reading the sugya is, well, of course I learned that it's Derabbanan. Because I learn that an eagle Devela, which is Derabbanan, this is where the Rambam learns the sugya. I learned an eagle Devela, which is Derabbanan, even Bizman, I mean, there's nothing to discuss. So definitely that would be Derabbanan. Bizman Hazeh only would be Derabbanan. So therefore, if Truma Bizman Hazeh was the Araisa, then we would treat the eagle as a Dover Chashev. And since it's a Dover Chashev, it shouldn't be Batal. The only excuse for not treating it that way is because it's Bizman Hazeh. But Rashi can't say that, because according to Rashi, even Bizman Avayas it would be only Derabbanan. So therefore, Rashi's got to put in a real kvetch over here, which is that Rish Lakish is saying, look, if Truma Bizvana Zewa Diraisa, so then even though Eagle Dvail is Drabonan, but we would have to be Gezer, the Truma Bizvana Zewa Drabonans, because we have Truma Bizvana Zewa Diraisa. So just like I said before, we can't make an Afkamina at one time between the Rabbonan and the Diraisa. So we ought to be Gezer to the Rabbonan Agav the Diraisa, which we have Bizvana Zewa. If we have Bizvana Zewa Truma Diraisa, so then we should be Makbid not to be Mavatal. An Isser Drabonon, because there are similar Isser Diraisa in something that Yavadovar Kosher shouldn't be bought. So the only excuse that I have for explaining why an eagle, the Vela, which is Kosher, would be bought is because Bizmana Zed is no Truma at all. According to the Rambam, where it said very simply, eagle, the Vela, Bizmana Bayit would be Diraisa. And since over here it says that, and therefore not bottle, because it's too Kosher to be bottle, but the Rabbonon, which must be because it's Bizmana Zed, we're maker. He doesn't need that extra kvetch. We would be gezer drabon and agav diraisa. Okay. So it seems to me that that makes it pretty clear. Ego be gulam olam. Omar leiser, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, well, really now. I mean, because I seem to have learned something that shows all that to be moot, you know. Halo anishone. I mean, that's what you learned. I'll tell you what I learned. What I learned is that echaticha bechatichot. Right. You're saying, again, the way Rashi's learning, you're saying that we would be gozer, the drabon and the vigo de vela, ought to a truma de araisa if there were truma bizmanas of the araisa. I've got news for you, my dear friend, that even if you would need to be mavato this thing mid the araisa, there wouldn't be any problem. Because I have learned in the Mishnah that if a piece of a korban chatas, which is tummy, now falls into the pieces of chatas, which are tohar, which is obviously the araisa, even though pieces are considered to be chashev, and it's darko limanos, and nonetheless, it says over there, it's ola, and it's boto. The question of ola, by the way, is a machlokas, how to understand it here, usually means that in order to avoid getting hanoah from the issue, so if you have hegdash, it's also hanoah, you have to take out one piece, even though you don't know what that one piece is, in order to avoid getting hanoah from the addition of the piece, because that's not boto. You obviously have more than you started with. So, I mean, why are you being matrim to get hanoah, even though it may not be directly hanoah from eating the very piece, because that's bottle, but you're getting a, so you would take out a piece. Okay, that's a question whether that is true in these sugyas or not, but since we're not dealing over here with the questions a bit, I don't know, let's leave that to the side. I'm just raising it so that we shouldn't jump to conclusions about the sugya. But in any event, my dear Rish Lakish, you're telling me that if we would have a problem over here, if truma bizmanas abidin uraisa, we would never allow you to be mavatal on eagle and igulim, because igulim are very chashim. Let me tell you what your problem is and where your mistake is. You think that something that is chashim is not vatal if it's a diraisa, so we ought to make a gzeir on the drabon. Huh? You're wrong. Because here I've got a Mishnah that tells me that even a diraisa is vatal. And let me explain to you what your mistake is. Your mistake is the question of how to define what is chashim. You're 100% right. Something chashev, there is a gzeir derabbanan that we're not going to allow bittul. But remember, we've had this many times. This sugya is a big machlokas about whether we learn kol shadaka limanos, es shadaka limanos, shisha dvarim bilvav. That's a big machlokas. And you misunderstand what you're quoting. So let me explain to you how it really works. Misa vada, what did you think? Did you think that when later on, as I'm going to show you, that Rabbi Meir says, something which is chashev isn't bottle. What do you think that he said? Kol shadaka limanos. What do you think he meant? Anything which is sometimes sold by the unit, that type of unit cannot be bottle. That's what you think? Well, you're wrong. What Rabbi Meir said was et shadaka limanos. Et shadaka limanos is things that are manufactured specifically, that they're sold in no other fashion. They're sold only by the unit. People are very makbid on them. They don't add in a little bit extra and say, oh, it looks like you got over here. Yeah, it's about a dozen bunches, you know, take it. Well, yeah, a little bit less, a little bit more, I don't care, you know. That you'll never find. That's an et shadaka limanos. Although these things are chashev, they're not so chashev that everybody's always going to be mocked but to count every last one. And therefore, the mistake that you're making is to view this as a dharma that if it would be the araisa, it wouldn't be bottle because it's darker limonis. So I'm telling you, it may be darker limonis in the most broad sense, but it's not extra darker limonis. It's not only and absolutely sold only by units. And therefore, you're bringing a raya from something that's irrelevant, because an igulei dvela is not something which is extra darker limonis. It's just kosher dagalimonis, and there'd be no akpada even under d'oraisa. So don't try to bring me a raya. There must be, there's no d'oraisa. Could be d'oraisa.
Is this true with the chatas as well?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to get to the chatas in another bit. So halo ani shone chaticha b'chatichot ola, even though it's a kosher thing. So misavart, and I'll explain to you, your mistake is you think that the problem of eagle dvela is included in the darkly mana. Why? Because kol means anything at all that's darkly mana, including eagle dvela. The thing is, there's no such halach as kol shadarkly mana. The halach is et shadarkly mana shanino. In the shita that I'm about to explain to you, the words, the correct words are et shadarkly mana. Now, of course, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan understood each other, but for the audience listening in Mahi, just to remind you all here in the Daf Yomi, in case you don't remember, what exactly was that a reference to? Kol shadarkly mana sounds very esoteric. Et shadarkly mana, it's a reference to Mishnah we've had many times. It's not. Misha yalo chavilei tiltan. So we've had this, this is a Mishnah in Orla. Somebody's got bunches, and a bunch according to Rishami consists of 25 units. He's got a bunch of fenugreek. Now this fenugreek is very choshev because it's one of the things, it's tama eitz, tama pri. You could use a little bit a little bit of it to spice up your whole pot, and it's mamtik or kadera. Okay, so people will sell this by units. And if it's kloya kerem, it's also ba'ana, so obviously yidaleku, you have to burn it, because the Torah said pen tu gadash emaleah, and we learn how pen tu gadash means pen tu kad esh. Drashat kloya kerem requires burning, okay? So you got a bunch of fenugreek that comes from a kloya kerem, you have to burn it. Now, how about nitarvu ba'achirot? How about if this bunch of fenugreek falls into a bunch of other bunches? Kulam yidaleku. All of them have to be burned because they're never going to be batal. Divrei Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim omrim. Okay, so according to Rebbe Meir, and the cities over there, Shahaya Rebbe Meir on a kosher darker limanos. So it's not batal barov. This thing, this koya kerem, normally, of course it wouldn't be batal barov, it would be batal 1 in 200, which is the Rabbanon, that we have 1 out of 200. But in a case where it's a darker limanos there, the Rabbanon didn't give you grounds to repeat it at all. V'chachamim omrim, what do you mean? This is regular kloya kerem. Who cares if it's a bunch of fenugreek? And yalu ve'echad u'matayim. It's a standard bittul for kloya kerem, which is 1 in 200. Shehoya Rebbe Meir omer. Now here's the continuation, and here's the question how to be kores. Rebbe Meir used to say, kol shedarka limanos mikadesh. Anything which is normally counted. Okay, even though there's maybe lots of people that sell it, not necessarily by counting every unit by akvada. But where most people will sell it that way, that's going to be Mekadesh, and there's no way we use the Lashon Mekadesh, because the Torah uses that Lashon by Kolei HaKerem, Pen Tu Gdash, and there's no way to be Mevatel it. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, not true. Eino Mekadesh Elo Shisha Dvarim Bilvad. There's only six things that are Choshev enough to be considered never to be Batel. The Rambam says, obviously, that's not some type of absolute, that these six things are magic. But they're just giving examples in their time and their culture. These six things are important. You have to look at your own times to discover what things people really look at. A coconut, maybe. Bisman Azeh would have that kind of thing. People buy a coconut, buy a unit. And it's a very hush of a kind of nut and so on. Okay. In those, that's how could have a unit. So, egoze perech. Kind of expensive. Egoze perech. See, we got these egozim. Rashi all over says egoze perech. Perech is the name of a place. That's very coincidental because perech means cracking or crack open, which is awfully nut-oriented. And Tosis indeed learns egoze perech means a type of nut that cracks open easily. You know? So that you don't need a big nutcracker to get it open.
Pistachios.
Maybe. Verimone bedan. Bedan indeed is a place, but they have very choshev verimonim. Chaviyot stumot, you have wine barrels that are sealed. Chilfe trodin, I mean, listen, beets are worth a mint, you know, what are you going to end up making? You can make borscht out of beets.
This is the stalk of the beet, right?
Yes, the entire, you know, the plant as it comes out, so the chilfe trodin. The kolche kruv, oh yes. And the delat yavanit, I mean, listen, Greek pumpkins, I mean, that's absolutely the top of wine. So those things are considered to be choshev. Rabbi Akiva says even another thing that's choshev, kikrot shava ala bayit. Commercial loaves aren't choshev, but home baked challah is big, it's special, and that's kosher. That's not going to be but. Okay. Now, out of the above, they're not all the same. Ruin the orla, the egozim, the rimonim, the wine, that's orla. Those things could be orla. The things that could be kloya kerem, which are the other things, the kruv, the vlad, the chilfei treyotim, those things, kloya kerem, whatever the case is, that's what we're referring to. They will never be bottled. Now, looking back at that girsa in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan says, when Rabbi Meir said ishita, the word he used was etchedarka limanot. Those things which are miyuchad, in that they're so chashuv, nobody would sell them loosely, approximately, add in another bunch of fenugreek. Those things, yes, develas, the guy's buying 100 develas, you know, it looks to be about 100, maybe it's 103, whatever, take them, that could happen. Whereas Rishon Lakish holds kol shedaka limanot sheni. And therefore, the whole issue, really, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rishon Lakish about how to view the question of Truma Bizman Hazeh works based on how we understand the din of Etz or Kol. What is the meaning of a gulim that are batal? Are they big batal only because they're Durabonim? Because otherwise they would have fallen into the category of the din of Kol Shedaka Limanot. Or are they batal because they're not Etz Shedaka Limanot, and therefore they could be even Dioraisis? That is the reason that Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing. How do we know that that's going to Abdafka, Liba de Rabbi Yossi? Tosus goes into it length. Why not just say it's going on Liba de Rabbanan? Tosus goes in, or Rimeir, Tosus goes in to describe to us the Diyukim here that show us that it wouldn't be going Aliba the other Sheetahs, it's Abdafka going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi Sheetah. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan was asking Rish Lakish from a Sheetah that he thought would be Vadai, the approach Aliba de Rabbi Meir in Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, referred to something that he had learned about chataot, pieces of chataot. Now, that's not a Mishnah. When he was saying anish shoneh, what was that? When he said to Rish Lakish, you're obviously making a mistake, because if pieces of chataot are bottle, and they're definitely the Raisa, so then you're wrong in thinking that kol shadak limonis is the way to understand it. What was he referring to? He was referring to the following. My chaticha, the Tanya. Chaticha shel chatat me'a, shenitarva b'me'a chatichot shel chataot torot. You got over your piece of a korban chatas, which is tamei, and it's mixed now in 100 pieces of a korban chatas, which are tor. We have the same thing of, let's say, a slice of lechem aponim. It's a slice of lechem aponim that got tamei. Obviously, once it becomes tamei, it becomes yisrachila, hegdash, which is tamei, is also to eat, with your eyes. And it just gets mixed up in 100 pieces of lechem aponim, which are tahiras. In this case, ta'aleh, again, ta'aleh, whether you have to take out a piece, whether it means it's just oila is another way of saying oila is bottle. It's bottle. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not bottle. Now, just as an aside, why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's not bottle? So Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not bottle. This is Rabbi Yehuda's sheet all over Barnea, who learns that min b'minai is not bottle. Since over here it's all chatas, it's not bottle. Again, in vata chatas, chatas, lechem aponim, lechem aponim. There's no way to be vata. Tosus is a shita all over. Is that min bemino never has importance when you're talking about something that doesn't mix. So if you've got yavesh b'yavesh, and the question is how far does yavesh b'yavesh go? Is flour yavesh b'yavesh? Or is something that mixes the taste throughout on a level that's molecular, you'd never be able to separate out one from the other? That's another question. Okay, Tosis himself raises the issue. What would I say about flour? But in any event, when it comes to the din of min b'mina lo batal, says Tosis, that's only where they mix in a way that mixes their tastes. We never find that Rabbi Yehuda would say min b'mina lo batal on a piece of a thing which doesn't mix with the other thing, because there's no real mixture. There's just an inability to be machlit what's what. He's saying lobato, but taruvus. This is not really taruvus. This is just a din of rov. The Torah allows you to pick out, go according to the rov. And therefore, this can't have anything to do with that issue at all. Nothing to do with min b'minoi, because this is yavesh over here, and basically, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasa, who holds, indeed, kol shadaka limanot. So according to him, this is part of the discussion we had earlier. According to Rabbi Yehuda, kol shadaka limanot, listen, people don't give away a piece of chatas. Kohanim killed for this. I mean, you know, this was the, they threw the guy out, basically they called him the no good man for the rest of his life because of the way he related to these things, or grabbed these things, whatever. Benakamsan. These are not things that people are mochel on. So therefore, we're going to be makbid on it. Okay. So he says, lo ta'ale. On the other hand, if we're talking about a case of being mevatel kochim into chulin, the chatas there is tahor, or you got a prusa shalakam aponim, which got mixed up in your wife's challah, I mean, the mea prusa shalchulin tahirites, divrei akolo tala, over there, nobody holds it would be batel. Because after all, no. Because why not just let a Kohen buy it and then he can eat it beheter? So basically what we have over here is a hefsin muad. You have to sell it only to Kohanim. Okay, no. So sell it only to Kohanim. If the previous case was going to lose the whole deal, there were matir to be oila. But over here, it's really kosher for Kohanim to eat. The piece of chatas is perfectly kosher chatas. I mean, obviously it's not worth anywhere near as much as a normal piece of meat, because you can only eat it to Kohanim. You have to eat it to Tyre, you have to be in that. I mean, good heavens, who wants the tzoras? I'll tell you what, I'll buy it for 30 cents on the dollar, you know. But it's not a half, it's not a total loss. In this case, even the Tanakama would be made that we're not going to be Mabatala. Okay, so Divrei HaKol there Lotal. But anyway, the important thing to me is, says Rabbi Yochanan, take a look at the ratio over here. Katoni miyaz ratio ta'alena. According to you, Reish Lakish, you say, so the only reason we could possibly be matir that igul of truma is because there's no way that such a thing could be a problem at a time where it's the rabbanim. There's no truma to rabbanim as manazas and memela, we won't be matir. And I'm showing you, man, even it's the araisa would have been batal. So there goes your whole proof. There's no reason in the world to say that truma is manazas. Is the rabbanim? Could be the araisa. Go tell me it's the rabbanim. Therefore, that means that your whole distinction, of course, the androgynous, they were only talking about Bisman HaZeh. There is no Bisman HaZeh. It's all the Arisa, maybe. I don't know, what do you jump to conclusions? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. It's Bisman HaZeh, it's the Rabbanah, therefore the big Mekel, and the Chazer B'Shoch, not the Bisman Chazer B'Shoch, man, oh man. You built the whole thing around a misconception of one word, kol or et. Amazing what a little mistake will get you after you keep building buildings on it. Okay? Omer Rabbi Thea, Reda Ravuna. Reish Lakish has got a very simple answer to all of this, you know. What makes you think it's talking about where they're sitting in the fridge? Maybe it's talking about in the pot. You cooked it all together, and now basically you got a cholent with chatas, and chulin, and chatas, and tome chatas, and torah chatas. So, exactly, bini mucha, the whole thing is now melted away in a big pot. The whole thing is mixed up. And therefore, we're not talking about a double that's choshev anymore. I mean, once it's all mushed in a stew, there's no piece that's choshev that's not going to be batel. So, well, then why would Rabbi Yehuda, Yochi, buy time in Rabbi Yehuda? Ah, Rabbi Yehuda is not because, as you might have thought, according to Rashi, as you did know, according to Tosfos, that it was a problem of the chashivas of the chaticha. Here, since it's talking about that it was melted, according to Tosfos, this is the only time. So now Rabbi Yehuda gets into his timing. Rolls min b'mina labata. According to Rashi, all along it was min b'mina labata, but you might have made a mistake of thinking that it was because of. It's a little bit difficult. I mean, it certainly reads much better like Tosfos. So, oh, I thought Rabbi Yehuda was saying that it's because kol shadak limanais. Now you're telling us nimucha. Why would he argue? Nah, it's a whole different issue of min b'mina. He never thought of that because we were talking about pieces. So according to Tosfos, perfect. So this is Rabbi Yehuda timing. Rabbi Yehuda holds me in a low bottom. And therefore, it's all okay. Awesome. No, that's very difficult to believe. Because the Braita over here contrasts the case of a chatas that is mixed with chatas and a case of a chatas that's mixed with chulin. I mean, why in the world would you want to do that? If the difference is whether it was cooked in a stew or not, that's the biggest fiddish to tell us is Bamed, Varma Murmas, be machalik in the chatas itself. Piece of chatas falls to the other chatas, it's not batel. But if it's cooked in a stew, then it's batel. So then you made it very clear. So what are you telling me there? Baloni mucha mai. So in other words, your approach is, Reish Lakish, that well, if it hadn't been melted in a stew, I'm sorry, no way, lo ta'aleh, because after all, it's kosher ta'akli bon, I see, no way to be mabatel, the Tanakama also wouldn't hold its bottle. So for God's sakes, say so. Adatoni, I mean, instead of sticking in over your new case, because over there you only have a hefsid muat and you could sell it to kayanim or whatever the reason is. But just go straight out, tell me a very simple distinction in the case. Let's make the nafkamina in the case itself and say, when do I say that I am ready to accept a chatas, the Tanakhama should say. When do I say that I argue on Rebbe Yehuda holds that it cannot be bottle only because me and the middle is low bottle? I don't agree with that. I say this is a typical case of bittul. What's the problem? But that's only, of course, if it was nimucha. But if it hadn't been nimucha, we would have important pieces that are identifiable by units and therefore too chashiv to be bottle because I really hold kol shadak limanes and not es shadak limanes. So lo nimucha. Lotala, and there you got the whole thing in a nutshell, even though it's not a gozei para, and you've got basically a brayta that teaches you the right things instead of misleading us. Well, says Rav Shortish, because that's not the point, you see. I mean, the Tana is more interested in telling me what the halach would be of Tehorot B'Tehorot. Tehorot B'Tehorot is adif lay. I'm more interested in learning that halacha. Tosfos says the reason I'm more interested in learning that halacha is because even though the iser is only an iser lazorim, nonetheless we're going to be machmer on it, and it's not going to be bottled. But koshikain, where it would be tamei, where over there it's also even the kohen. That's how he learns the difference. So Rashi has a more subtle distinction. Rashi says because in general we find that when two things are tar, it's more shayach bittul than when things are tumah. And he brings examples of this to be mavatal tumah b'tumah. So it's a bigger chiddush over here. And he wants to tell us now, even though both of them are taheres and it's shayach more bittul, he wants to tell us that nonetheless, because of this thing of hefsid muat, we won't be mavatal. Okay, you can understand immediately why that would be true. Generally speaking, the concept of bittul by tumah strikes you as being nonsensical, because generally we view tumah as being something that gives off of itself and makes the other thing the same as it. So the application of bittul to cases where it will not be metame is a fascinating application. All right, so it's important for the Tana to address that issue. Okay, so but whatever it is, Reish Lakish finds reason for justifying the Tana's choice of subject matter. So that doesn't bother him. So what comes out now of all sorts? Yeah? So Reish Lakish is understanding, look, the chaticha v'chatichas is talking about shalom pats. So keep it out of the equation. Okay, we're not talking about over here a davar ru'ya l'ischabed. Shalom? So therefore, that's not the case. As far as your understanding of the case of the eagle, you're wrong, Rav Yochanan. Because an eagle would never be bottled in other igulim, because it's included in kol shadar kalimonis, and that's the correct way of understanding Rabbi Meir, just like it says it over here, kol shadar kalimonis, which certainly includes an eagle. And therefore, we're led to one conclusion. If I read in a Mishnah about igule devela, I'm forced to conclude that bizman hazeh, there's no chashash of a truma d'oraisa, because if there were such a chashash, why would we allow even to enim, which may only be drabon and bizman abayit, but I mean, you'll come to be matir truma d'oraisa. Or, according to the Rambam, retainim are d'oraisa, you have a simple raya. How are we being matir, the bittul of something which is d'oraisa, if it's a kol shadak limanis? Must because it isn't d'oraisa. And that te'enim bizman azer, only drabon, like all truma bizman azer, because there's no difference between te'enim or any other kind of truma, according to the Rambam, which is the simplest way of learning the sugya. So it turns out that the entire machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, turns on this one simple question. Do I read Rabbi Meir saying kol, or do I read Rabbi Meir saying es, which now changes the way we understand igulei tvela, which now changes the way we understand truma b'zman hazeh being d'oraisa d'rabbanan, which now forces us to change the way that we understand the mixture of the chatos b'chatos, because otherwise it wouldn't be included in the d'arka limanis, it should have been impossible, according to Reish Lakish. Therefore it's talking about a cholent, according to Rabbi Yochanan it's talking about pieces, everything fits directly, all based on that simple machlokes. Okay, are we happy? Of course we're happy.
Very happy.